New game episode. Stop watching Destiny.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Uncored Gamers. Today we're going to be talking about Paris Games Week.
And I'm Jeff.
And I'm Dan. And this is Uncored Gamers episode. What was that?
That's our new jingle.
Why are you interrupting me? Episode 57 of Uncored Gamers.
You can speak during the jingle, it happens.
No, when I'm not expecting it. Speaking of which, actually, I do want to bring it up. Thank you for reminding me. If any of you guys, I was thinking, you know, our podcast needs a little bit of music at the beginning, I think. You know? We have a little random little segment at the beginning, a little bit of music, like, here's where the podcast actually starts.
You know, like action news.
Yeah, like, like MTV News. It's a typewriter sound.
Oh, yeah, MTV News, man. I forgot about MTV News. What was that one guy that was always on there?
The guy with the dreads?
What was his name? No, not the guy with the dreads. The white guy.
Oh, no. I don't even remember the guy with the dreads.
You know what I'm talking about.
I actually only remember the guy with
remember
the dreads.
Remember when they did that whole thing, I want to be a VJ?
Oh, yeah.
And Jesse won?
He became, like, super popular.
But the other guy, the guy that got second place, was the one that got to do the real stuff. Because Jesse was just like, she's kind of like a surfer dude, you know, like, no way, yeah, really? That's cool, that's cool. So they gave the runner-up was the one that actually got the most airtime, dude.
Of course.
And it was like, people only pick, because it was the audience that was picking this guy. So the audience picked the guy, you know, the stupidest guy. They picked the homer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And well, it makes sense, you know, people are always going to pick the homers.
They picked the one that they just could relate to, you know, like, I really felt that guy really understood me.
But he was like the worst VJ, man. He sucked.
Hey, what's up? All right. Next up, Smashing Pumpkins. Yeah.
I don't remember how I went.
Oh, man. So, anyway, if any of you fans of ours are musically talented and want to contribute to the show, I mean, send us anything you come up with to uncoregamers@gmail.com. We're probably looking for something about 10 to 15 seconds. And, you know, we'll pick out if we see what we like, pick one out, and then probably just put it in the podcast and give you our thanks and shout-outs.
And, maybe have a, you know, something like 6 months down the road or something like that, just kind of change it up, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't want to have the same one forever. That's all I'm saying. Maybe not 6 months, but, you know, have another contest, huh?
I don't know, man. I mean, we'll see.
I think we're getting pretty famous, bro. We're getting jingles now. What's up, man?
Yeah, dude, jingle. That's what it is. We need a little Uncore Gamers jingle.
Excuse my ice, but I'm really hot.
Oh, he's getting in the mode. Because we're going to be talking about Paris Games Week today. So obviously there's a lot of accents that went around. Jeff's getting his ice accent going on right now.
Yeah, Mike. Got ice in my mouth, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think anybody knows what you're saying right now. But I will try to translate as best as I can. So Paris Games Week just happened before we started recording this.
Man, I can't let that one so off, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty wild, all the announcements they made and stuff like that.
Did you see that game? What?
Yeah, that game was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, it was weird.
Yeah, it was a pretty big dinosaur. Yeah, Riggs was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we're getting out of order here. I mean, should really... We should talk about it as it happened.
All right. What was the first thing that happened?
First thing that happened, you know, they had a big sizzle reel, a bunch of, like, Uncharted.
That's not a real thing.
All right, first thing that happened is it came out, and they talked about Star Wars Battlefront and how awesome that was, and they did a nice little cinematic trailer with the...
They showed the Vaders and the Skywalkers and
the Emperor Palpatine and the Princess Leia and the Boba Fett.
Huh?
And the Han Solos and the Boba Fett's almost fell into the Sarlacc pits, and he's like, not that again. Thought that was funny.
So, but presumably, no, they already announced that you can have a ton of other characters to be able to play.
Yeah, they actually showed non-humans. that you could play as. So that was pretty cool.
They showed the fishmongers. Or fish guys, what are they called?
I don't know, dude.
What are they called?
I don't know.
I'm not that big of a Star Wars fan.
Neither am I. I mean, like, I like the movies and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but
right? Yeah.
I don't know what every race of alien is called.
What was Jabba the Hutt?
I have no idea. He was a Hutt.
That works. Whatever.
His name was Jabba, and they very specifically told you what he was. He was a Hutt.
The Hutt, yeah. Alright. So, yeah. I mean, the game looks cool. I didn't get a chance to play it.
A special PlayStation 4 with Darth Vader on the side of it. That looked pretty cool.
I seen Darth Vader shoot his
sword.
His sword on a live stream. It was really awesome.
Nice, nice.
It wasn't the guy playing. It was a different guy. Like, it was just some random guy.
Yeah.
And you just like, it's like Vader, like, you know, just running towards a bunch of enemies, throw a sword, like, took a bunch of them out. It's really cool.
So that was done.
I don't think Skywalker can do that. Skywalker's pretty lame.
Anyway.
Skywalker? Or what is that other guy?
Oh, yeah. Skywalker? I don't know.
Damn, man. You called him something weird.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Skywalker.
Oh, Skywater.
Skywater! It was Skywater. It was
Skywater. Luke Skywalker. That was a
French guy, too.
Yeah, and so they got back at him by speaking only English.
Yeah.
During the conference. So after Star Wars Battlefront, again, nothing, it was all cinematic, so nothing too crazy to talk about. There was one part that I thought was pretty cool. They're fighting on Endor, and they gotta use a jump pack and actually jump on top of the platforms that the Ewoks use on Endor. And so you can actually, like, fight up there and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool. So next up, they talked about Jeff's near and dear favorite game in the world.
Tekken 7.
No. Street Fighter 5.
Street Fighter 5.
And it shows gameplay of...
Oh, man, Dawson, dude. Dawson looks weird. He's, like, he's shooting, he's lobbing fireballs. And, like, ultras. Or special arcs. Whatever you want. Whatever they're called. I forget what they're called.
EX?
No, the ultra, ultra.
The V triggers?
No, the ultra! I'm not listening! he lobs it. And then he teleported, you know, give that, you know, that 50-50 thing going, right? Well, where's it gonna land? He got hit. Cause he went behind.
Here's the thing where you just hover now?
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that, cause he gains invincibility, apparently.
Really?
That's what I got from it. Hmm. And it might be like his little his yoga stance that he does in Street Fighter 4. Well, that one I don't think he can get hit low, but he can still get hit. There might be something like that.
Okay. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and he seems faster.
Yeah, he seems a lot faster.
He has combos now.
He has close up attacks. Yeah. He does his like fire breath thing, like it's up and down.
Yeah. It's like, and he can shoot fire at the ground.
Oh, yeah, create a little, like, sunspot.
It's really cool. He doesn't play like a Dawson anymore.
You think he's going to be a lot more Dawson than Chairman Cena?
I think he's definitely more viable. I mean, Dawson's a hard character to play against. You have to get in close to, you know, to really mess with Dawson's. And getting in is the hard part. But once you're in, it doesn't seem like it's too difficult to deal with.
Oh, see, but the Dawson's and that they showed, he had like throws that just launched you to the other side of the screen to get you away from him.
Yeah. Yeah. His throws are pretty good. Like, the Street Fighter 4 throws are pretty, pretty far. So, I mean, they give him the options, but, you know, getting in close, he has no real, like, attacks, man.
He does now, though.
Yeah, now he's all crazy.
And he's got crazy combos up close.
So, I mean, that was the only character that they announced at this time, except for the teasers at the end.
Yep.
Where they showed five. Was it five?
I think six.
Was it six? It was six
silhouettes.
Silhouettes of characters. One of them is definitely going to be Alex. Alex is already in the background of one of the stages, so I feel like he's definitely going to be a character. And one of them just kind of had his
body shape.
Body, yeah.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
There was one. Who was one?
Guile. You think Guile?
Yeah, I think definitely Guile looks like the was the third character or second character from the left.
Second character
seemed like a Guile to me. I mean, it seemed like he had the flat top going. and just the stands.
Like, it would be weird not to have Guile. This would be like the first one that doesn't have Guile.
No.
Well, besides the very first one. In Third Strike.
The first one had Guile.
Was he in the first one?
Are you talking about Street Fighter 1 or Street Fighter 2?
Street Fighter 1.
Well, Street Fighter 1.
It had Ryu, it had a.
Ken, and Ryu as playable characters.
Yeah.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, Guile wasn't in that one, was he?
No. Where the one where Saggy was the end boss?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you talking about that one?
Because it's Street Fighter. It's for Street Fighter.
Yeah, I guess.
So, Guile wasn't in that one, and he wasn't in Third Strike. But those are the only two he hasn't been in, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So it would be kind of weird for him not to be in this one. I mean, they haven't come up with a story reason why he wouldn't be in this one.
I mean...
He's still after Bison.
And his buddy's there.
Yeah.
So, I don't see any reason for him not to be there.
So anyway, so these characters are coming out within the first 6 months of the game's release, I think they said?
Yeah, this game's coming out in February. Yep. Close to my birthday, on the 16th. My birthday's on the 23rd, just so you know.
Yeah, so you can send presents. Send
all the presents.
You can send those presents to the Encore Gamer Gmail, and we will collect the gift card monies.
I would gladly take gift card monies. So, yeah, so that's a lot sooner than I actually expected.
Yep.
But at least we have a date now.
And the six characters, you can buy them all using the in-game currency that you earned by playing the game.
They promised all DLC is going to be like that. All DLC for the game is going to be like that, in-game currency. Just have to play a lot.
Yep.
Probably a lot.
Probably very much so.
Yeah.
But they did announce the 16th character. It's a character by the name of Hadara. I think Hadara or Harada. I think it was Harada. It's a real business-looking man.
What? He throws money at you?
He wears sunglasses. His counter is he pulls out his phone. And it's rude to hit somebody talking on their phone.
Yeah, and he puts his other hand up in like a stop kind of sign thing. So,
yeah, like a,
so oh, it confuses you.
1 minute, 1 minute.
Yeah, like that kind of deal, right? So you're confused. You don't know if you should hit this guy, so you don't.
Yep.
Yeah.
No. That's not a 16 character.
It was fake.
It's fake. It was a guy that does Tekken.
Yeah.
Tekken 7.
And then I started talking about Tekken, Tekken 7, I was like, eh, you know what I mean? I'm just kind of meh with the Tekkens.
Coming to the PS4.
But the weird thing that they announced for Tekken 7 was that it's coming to VR as well.
Yeah, it's going to have some functionality with the PlayStation VR.
And I don't understand how that's going to work.
That's literally all to say is that, like, Tekken 7 and PlayStation VR.
Let's say it's a first-person view of your character, right?
I think it's gonna be a mode.
But how are you gonna do all the moves?
I think there's
tons of moves.
I think it's a mode. I don't think it'll be like an actual competitive thing you can do. It'll probably just be like a little gimmicky mode.
Even then, how does it work?
It can't be
a first person, dude, because then you'd be so awkward on a controller.
You use your Wiimotes, PlayStation Wiimotes, whatever they're called, moves, and you're like he throws a punch and you block it and you punch him back.
I don't know, man.
I don't know, dude. They didn't say.
Just so weird. I don't think that's going to work out. But anyway, not too big on the thing. I like Tekken and all, but not too big on it.
Next up, they showed some footage of Battleborn. Again, all cinematic, but no, the actual gameplay. Battleborn's the game that's like a MOBA. MOBA, PvP MOBA.
Yeah.
First-person shooter by the people that created Borderlands.
It's like Borderlands meets LOL or something.
It's going to get a beta next year, and it's going to be coming to the PlayStation 4 first for the beta.
Yay.
Yeah.
I guess.
Whatever. I'm not too big on MOBA games and stuff like that. It looks like there's PvP, co-op, single-player, story mode, and stuff like that. So there's definitely all the modes you would want if you want to play a game. So that's refreshing. It's refreshing to see local co-op and all that stuff again.
I wonder if that's a wave of the future now, doing like all these first-person, like, you know, like MMO-type games, you know what I mean?
God, I hope so. Because that would marry so well with the PlayStation VR.
Diablo 4 as a first-person...
first person virtual reality.
VR.
Yeah. Dude, that is my dream. That is my second VR dream. My first VR dream is Dot Hack.
Man, what I would really love is like a
nice MMO VR. So good.
A Resident Evil or PT. Not a PT, though.
That's cool. Before you play one of those, though, could you, like, write a will and just give me some of your stuff before you turn on the game?
Dude, I'm so good with ghosts and stuff, man. You don't even know.
Like, when you get that heart attack?
You don't even know, bro.
I just want to be in that will.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
For the show. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you'll get my PS4, then, so you can play with Mr. Rom.
All right. That'd be nice. Yeah. See? That's all we ever needed. Or, you know, if you ever win a golden PlayStation 4 through a Taco Bell Tejido thing, you don't need a second.
Can't believe that guy won, dude.
You don't need a second PlayStation 4, you know.
That was the Broman, right?
No, it was not the Broman.
Who was that?
That was the Eternal.
Was it Eternal? Damn it, yeah. Dude. That's so awesome, man. Like, you always think, like, hey, nobody really wins these things, you know?
And then, bam, someone you actually play with. It's like, yeah, I got it.
Didn't even need it.
Alright, so next up was Boundless. This looks like Minecraft, but all they did really was just like walk through portals and look at portals. So like it was like you can go to different worlds through these portals.
But you had a hammer on you.
Yeah, you had a hammer, and everything looked Minecraft-ish. So,
I mean, then it seems like they were like grouped together to go attack something. So.
I don't know. It's just
there was
walk past a bunch of portals.
It seemed to be some baddies in behind one of the portals, and you could totally see what's behind the portal. Like they're like,
yeah,
kind of like a mirror where you can just see what's on the other side.
It's literally just like a hole in time space, yeah. Space time.
Yeah.
Next, there was a cinematic by Housemarque, Matterfall. It's some blue ninja.
Hated it.
Was it two snaps and a twist? Is that what it was?
Uh-uh, that goes in my car.
Yeah, it was just some blue ninja guy shooting, like, red blob people and stuff.
Yeah.
Don't know what it was. I'm not sure.
What was it really about, though?
Then they showed another trailer for No Man's Sky. Showing a lot more of the combat side of things.
There wasn't too much, though, for that. I don't think that it showed that much.
It showed, like, him fighting off three or four different types
of
robots.
Yeah, it was like a robot, yeah.
Like, multiple robots.
But they're already shown that they can attack them, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't think there's too much more they can really show for that game.
Now, how about the release date?
That would be one of the things they could show.
They did show it.
I know.
Yeah. What is it?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I don't remember.
It was June. June 2016.
That's so far away.
It is so far away. But maybe it'll be VR after all, because that's around the time that PlayStation VR is probably going to
be. I really want that game.
I know. Next up was the rhythm game being worked on by DJ Avicii.
Hated it. Now, this is a game about some kind of music rhythm, and I found no rhythm. Just saying.
After that, they showed another little trailer for the DLC of Bloodborne, The Old Hunters. God, I want to try out those new weapons.
Yeah, something about a sweaty knees, you know, just taking care of business, you know what I mean?
I don't think they went with you know what I mean too much.
No, they didn't. Yeah. But I can't remember.
Yeah, it's just been a long time. In Living Color needs to do a reunion show.
If you guys haven't seen Living Color, go watch Living Color. That's what Jim Carrey got to start.
That's what Jim Carrey, the Wayans brothers.
It was the Wayans show.
Yeah. And, J-Lo got her big start there.
Sean Wayans was actually the DJ on that show.
Hmm.
But he ended up, doing skits here and there. And, you know, kept started doing movies as well. And, you know, he was the main guy in Don't Be a Menace.
Yeah.
Yeah. He started as a DJ.
That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, and also, what's her name? Monica Lewinsky. I mean, J-Lo.
Yeah, okay.
J-Lo.
J-Lo. J-Lo I was got like, her. What?
J-Lo got her start there too. She was one of the dancers, and somebody's like, "Oh, well, she's a good dancer. Maybe she can sing or something." I don't know. I don't know how this all went down, but she was definitely on the show.
If you got Drive Club, good news, you can now ride bikes.
Bad news, they look like toys.
All bikes look like toys.
Yeah, well,
there's just a bunch of plastic plastered on an engine.
So dangerous. Did you see that video with the bike crashed into a car on the freeway and the guy landed on top of the car?
No, but I did see a video where a guy crashed into like a chest high guardrail and just like flew. It just flung him across the other side of the freeway.
Yeah, there's no seatbelts on bikes.
No, there isn't. No. It was horrifying. Dude. People say he looked like a ragdoll. He didn't even look like a ragdoll, dude. He just looked like a moth that just got flung out of a fast moving car.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Scary. Bikes are scary. And then you see people every now and then driving like, 200 miles an hour on a bike, dude, down the freeway. And you're just like, dude, one little thing. That's all it takes. To just die, really, dude. Yeah. I mean, going to 200 miles an hour, bro, on a bike. You guys a dinky helmet.
Well, you got the big leather jackets.
That's gonna get embedded in your skin.
They're padded.
It's gonna graft into your skin, dude. It happens.
They're padded, though, so I mean, like,
I'm sure 200 miles an hour will take care of that.
Anyway,
I'm just saying, people are stupid sometimes.
Right? After that, they showed the Horizon Zero Dawn again. It was practically the same demo, just done differently. Yeah. So I mean, like, again, it was still live gameplay, but it was like, the same enemies and stuff like that. So whatevs. Oh boy. Alright. Gravity Rush 2. You know it. You know it.
This Dan guy is like really excited about this game.
Oh man, so I played the original on the Vita. It was fun. I mean, it wasn't like amazing game, stuff like that. There's definitely some combat mechanics that could have been fleshed out a little bit and stuff like that. But man, just taking over gravity and just being able to just fly across the city like at high speeds is just so much fun. And, sequels coming out. Now she has,
like, heavy gravity deal, right? I don't know if that was part of the first one.
Now she can go into different modes. No, that wasn't part of the first one. She can go into different modes to affect how gravity affects her and stuff like that. So she can be, like, super fast, super heavy.
That's really cool.
And I'm all about that.
It really looks cool, but I haven't had the experience of the first one, so.
You can get it now, though, because they're re-releasing the first one on the PS4.
Yeah, it comes with the game, doesn't it?
Don't cry.
When you buy the game. I'm just saying, when you buy the game, it's going to come with the game.
I don't think so.
They announced that already, didn't they?
I thought
the last announcement that they made for this game.
I thought they just said that they were doing a re-release.
Was it just a re-release?
I think it was just re-release.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Doesn't matter, you're going to want it anyway. Uncharted 4, they show a cinematic of the multiplayer.
The guy was like... The guy shot like this thing and this totem came out and all these like bad spirits started like eating everybody up.
So yeah, they've added a few things to the multiplayer. You can call in support. There's three support roles, like a sniper person, a medic, and like a hand-to-hand combat specialist, and they're AI controlled. And also you can use supernatural powers, like they had showed Elena using a red orb thing, and she became one of the fire demons from the third game.
Yeah.
And
she set herself on fire, man. That's cool.
And she was just like darting around the map, and yeah, then somebody pulled out the totem and
it's like she was a Fantastic Four.
Yep. Media Molecule came out. Actually, Media Molecule?
Oh, yeah, Media Molecule.
They came out, showed Dreams. I actually played Dreams.
Yeah, they were building some levels.
No, they weren't building levels.
They were building the forest.
The level was already made.
Okay, you know what I'm saying, though, dog?
You gotta explain it so people understand. How it works, how it breaks down.
Alright, there's a level and you can add stuff to the level. If the user allows you, apparently.
Yeah, if the user allows you to, you can just mess around with the level and it'll say permanently, so the next time somebody comes over to this level, they'll see all the stuff that you did on it.
Yeah, and knock down all the trees that you just made.
If they wanted to, yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway, and then they went to a door to the next part of the level, and in that part, the guy was like, no, you can't touch nothing. And there was like a puzzle, and you have to figure out the puzzle. And you control an imp.
It was the head.
Yeah, it's always the head. You can control an imp, and through that imp, you can possess like the characters that are just standing there to make them do things. And you can like manipulate the world through your imp. And you do, it looks like you were doing all through the Move controller. Like, but like moving the controller around and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. It seemed really,
fluid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very responsive.
Exactly. Very responsive.
She's taking the words right out of your mouth.
Out of my mouth. Yeah. Yeah.
That's where I like to take them from. yeah, it seemed interesting. I mean, they showed like a sizzle reel, and it looked like people made like a soccer game, racing games, first person.
Yeah, some of that stuff looked really weird.
And stuff like that.
It looked really corny.
Yeah, I mean, but like, it basically seems like Little Big Planet creation tool, like super high res.
To the max.
Yeah, to the max.
Remember Mad Max?
Yeah, dude, Mad Max was awesome, except don't watch it again.
Because the voice.
No. It's just like the plot and like the actual lines of dialogue. You're just like, oh, that sounds so cheesy.
Why are you hating on Mad Max, man?
It's just like the cheesy puns and stuff like that, dude. Like when you're a kid, you're like, ah.
Back in the day.
It's hilarious.
It was the thing. It was the thing to do.
He is a bonehead, Max. Ha. Huh. Because his head's a skull. And like as an adult, you're just like, oh, man. The concept is so great, don't get me wrong. I still love the concept and, like, seeing all the different worlds and the magic hat and all that stuff, but just, like, yeah, maybe next time, Bonehead! And you're just like, oh, God, don't talk anymore, Max. Don't ruin this. Shh.
Leave Mad Max alone.
Yeah, well, I'm pulling it up on YouTube to see how much you still enjoy it after the show.
I would still enjoy it because I grew up. With, you know, the thing and the Mad and the Max, man.
I grew up with it, too. And it's just
one of those things. How can you not enjoy something you grew up with? I don't understand.
It's just one of those things, man. You just remember it with rose-colored glasses because you didn't know better.
Yeah, actually, I had that about other things. I was like, I really like this? Yeah.
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 Like some people in the Care Bears.
I'm so tired right now. So tired.
Yeah, we're recording this at 1 in the morning.
This is 1 in the morning. I got off work.
Super late.
At, like, almost 10.
And then we had to watch the conference so he would know what we were talking
about. It's time for another episode of Jeff's Corner.
Actually, it's a good segue point. Yeah.
So.
I'm going to enjoy some coffee.
Saturday, which is my sixth day of work. I think Jeff's Corner involves a lot of work. Because that's what Jeff's life is right now. His work.
I had to quickly swallow that before I spit it all over the mic.
No, like, I'm serious. I basically live at work now.
He eats at work? He doesn't even have dinner when he goes home.
Dude, I work minimum of 10 hours. And I don't even think I've seen a day that's less than 11 hours for a while. Saturday, which is my sixth day, I had to work 11 hours. On a Saturday, right? I don't want to be there on a Saturday, but yet I'm there for 11 hours.
It's so bad, one could say it keeps Jeff from being able to do things like Street Fighter betas.
I didn't play all weekend because it was Sunday. I had to do, on Sunday, everything that I wanted to do Friday night and Saturday morning and Saturday night. You know, I had all this time in the world to do it, but no, I had to live at work. So, I was supposed to take this, my boss basically has, my boss's father has like a little catering kind of deal going, right? So, somebody, had asked for some foods, and I was like, and my boss was on vacation. So my boss was like, hey, can you deliver some foods for me, you know, as a favor? I was like, yeah, I can do that, no problem, right? It's like, I'll do it after work. I should be off like at what, 3 o'clock, 3 p.m.? Yeah, I got it. Yeah, well, 3 p.m. came, and I was still at work and looking at another, basically 3 hours. And I get a call, and I was like, hey, yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be here for a while. I'm not getting off at 3 o'clock. I can't be delivering this food, you know what I mean?
If only I had somebody to help me with this work.
Yeah. I need someone to work with me. Like, seriously, I need an assistant, and the job's open for anybody to go apply. Anyway, my first guy quit on me. Anyway, the so like so I you know I'm getting off at basically six, right? And I told her that at least five. I told my boss I'm getting off at least 5 o'clock, right? No earlier than that. So she goes and texts the other person, hey, yeah, 5 o'clock, right? And the other person's basically the manager there, the BP manager.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, hey, so you're coming at five? I was like, nah, I'm not going to be done with work by five. She's like, well, you know, boss said that you were going to deliver this by five. And I was like, yeah, not happening. And she's like, and then she's like, well, I live like seven minutes away. Right, and I know she, I knew what she was asking, but she didn't ask, so I didn't answer. So there was like a pause right there, right? And then she's like, "Can you come deliver it? And you know, can you clock out, deliver it, and then go back to work?" And I was like, "I really don't
want
to do that."
Wait, she wants you to clock out?
You want me to clock out, go deliver the food to her, and then come back to work and continue my work?
It's pretty ridiculous. I mean, if you're making an employee come deliver something to you, that should be on the clock.
I'm doing it as a favor. You know what I mean?
Still be like, on the clock, though.
No. This is what I'm saying. Like, I'm doing this as a favor. You know, it's not really a responsibility of mine to do this. I let my boss know that I would do it after I'm done with work. You know, and, you know, for whatever, you know, for reasons out of my control, I couldn't finish by 3 o'clock. There was no way. And I let her know before, you know, 3 o'clock. I let her know before that time that I was going to be here until at least five. And so, like, you know, she's like, can you just clock out, bring the food, and go back to work? And I was like, I really don't want to do that. I don't want to have to come back here. And she's like, well, nobody told me that, you know, I would come pick up the food. And I was like, okay, well, I didn't answer, you know, stay quiet. I was like, well, you don't have to come pick it up, you know. You can wait till 6 o'clock, basically. It was my thought process. She says, I'm going to send my husband. I was like, all right. And, you know, phones hang up, wait for the husband. He gets here, dude. He's like a total chill dude, that guy.
Right.
Yeah, he's like a surfer type. So yeah, he goes, comes around, he's like, hey. I was like, hey, food's over on the other side, you know, park in the front, whatever. We'll get your food. Got his food and left, you know. It wasn't that bad, you know.
Yeah, no need to huff the puff.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, it's easier for him that, you know, there's no responsibilities right now for them. You know what I mean? They're at home. They're enjoying their time off. I'm not. I'm at work.
I'm
trying to take care of all this work that I have to do for Monday's production. You know what I mean? I'm trying hard, and I don't want to have to break from that and then come back to it. So I feel like the easier choice would be for them to come pick it up. You know, even though I never said that. I never told her, you know, well, hey, you should come pick it up. You know, nothing like that. But anyway, yeah, it's, I don't know, man. That job is really taking over my life.
It really is.
Yeah.
Everything you used to ever do, you no longer do.
This is true. Yeah. This is true. Hopefully I'll get that new guy soon.
Or girl.
Our girl.
What?
Huh? Grace is working there now.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, she quit. She quit her job. She's like, I don't want to do this no more. Well, she's been saying that for a long time. She's been saying she doesn't want to be there anymore. People, fingers are, like, she comes home with, like, her fingers all numb because she works with, like, small pieces and stuff like that.
Okay,
and she does a lot of, like, plastic trimming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so annoying. Like, it's, and sometimes she's like, yeah, I can't feel the,
tips.
The tips of my fingers. And I was like, yeah, that sucks. And she's like, I'm just gonna quit. And I was like, oh, yeah. let's find something else before we, start quitting here, huh? You know, it's hard on my own to, you know, to provide for everything here. So, yeah, so there, you know, she ended up, fine at my job. Got a job there, and now we're working together.
That's cool.
I guess. Nah, that's cool, that's cool. That's cool.
I mean, it's good to have your significant other there. You know, you're around a lot of new people. It's good to have somebody that's there to keep you in check.
It's true. What? Nah, I can't flirts no more.
And there ain't nothing wrong with it.
Nah.
Flirting is what gets you in trouble.
Nah, but you flirt with people that...
The more you know.
You flirt with people that, you know, are, you know, that are like super married, you know what I mean?
There's no safety.
They're super married.
If they're super married, they're not flirting with you.
It's a joke, man. It's just a joke.
I'm just saying, if there's flirting going on, maybe they might not be super married.
All I'm saying is, like, people joke around, flirting, not flirting, and it's still jokes.
Office party, joking around. Wait, no, never mind.
It's Christmas party. Oh man, that Christmas party. I haven't even been there for Christmas yet. I don't even know if they throw a party. I hope they give time off. Like a week. I want a week off for Christmas.
Dude, no business in America is going to give you a week off for
Christmas. Are you kidding me? There's businesses that give you like 2 weeks off.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to have like a college degree for that type of thing.
Well, probably, yeah. But it does happen. I'm just saying, it does happen. So that was Jeff's Corner.
That was Jeff's Corner. And now...
I just wanted to vent.
Back to the second half of the Sony Paris Games Week press conference. This is when Shuhei Yoshida came out. See, that's where it would be nice if somebody had emailed us a nice little musical interlude. Could have done a little something there.
Yeah.
Send us your
people are music savvy, man. Come on.
Help us out, man. Help us out. So Shuhei Yoshida came out. And basically, as soon as he came out, the entire conference switched gears. The next 20 minutes, nothing but PlayStation VR talk. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh my god, man, they are pushing this thing.
They are pushing it good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so straight up, Shuhei Yoshida comes out, he's like, hey, we got this new experience for you guys. It's by the developers of Until Dawn, Russia Blood. You're like on a mine cart or like a roller coaster. Russia Blood. Jeff just can't get over his English.
English is awesome. The guy was doing English.
Yeah, he tries very hard.
I know, but...
Is
it bad that it's funny to me?
It kind of a little bit.
Is it really?
Yeah, probably a little. It's insensitive, I think. It's probably what it falls under.
Insensitive, yes. I can see that. I'm sorry. I apologize to the Japanese audience. I love Japanese culture, though, man. Japanese culture is awesome, dude.
So, Until Dawn, Rush of Blood, it is a on-rail shooter. You're literally on a little roller coaster as you go through this thing. Apparently you're shooting, like, monsters and stuff like that, and there's a... Somebody said that they played, like, a tech demo of it, and it was, like, 20 minutes worth of demo.
No.
Or 20 minutes for the whole game experience or something like that, so... I assume that'll probably be a smaller title. $15, $20 range, something like that. But, I mean, that's cool.
Where's that tightrope walking? Fall into this?
It's coming. Next, it showed up. Probably one of my biggest things. Actually, they started with Rigs. I don't know why. This thing's out of order. They started with Rigs.
Rigs was cool. Rigs is really cool.
A fake match of Rigs. And with, like, a full, like, on, like, sports announcer, dude. This guy was, like, literally, I was like, am I watching a soccer game?
He's basically a soccer announcer, yeah. Yeah, he's a soccer announcer for sure.
And he's just like, I was into it. I was like, oh, man, are they gonna score? And, like, you know, like, it's a lot easier now for me to tell who's overcharged and stuff like that. They have little indicators on the screen and stuff like that. You can see the scores of your team and stuff like that on your screen. And, I'm really excited. I mean, they're pushing it as an esports title. I think it has the potential to be an esports title. The only problem is it's behind a bit of a paywall. Of course, you have the VR, PS4. That could be pretty expensive, I'm sure. It's probably going to be like $800, $900 probably for the whole package.
That's not what you said last time. Oh, no, we were talking about just the VR. That's right.
Yeah, it's just the VR.
It was just the VR, yeah. No, I think that's still more than what you said last time.
It might be. It seems the more and more I hear people talk about the PlayStation VR, it sounds like people are estimating this thing to cost $500. I'm thinking closer to the $300 range. Just for the VR.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
There's been no official price or release date announced for this thing.
Yeah, because they don't want to scare people.
Yeah, they don't want to scare people. I'm thinking they want to move these units. I'm thinking $300. That's probably
it's a reasonable a price, $300, but I don't think it's gonna pay for all the money that went into it, dude. I think there's a lot more money that went into that for it to cost $300.
Well, here's my counter argument to that, though. Consoles have always been sold at a loss.
How much of a loss? Not much.
A decent amount. Because you got to take into account the tech and the research and development and the actual manufacturing costs and stuff like that. I think on average it's like a 50% loss.
No way, dude.
But they make such a profit on the software titles that it balances itself out.
I don't believe it's that much. That is insane, dude.
I think PS2 and PS3, like, I think in those time frame I heard somewhere like 50%.
That can't be right.
Loss on consoles, but like it's an estimated loss because like, all right, we're gonna lose 50% on the manufacturing cost because. It becomes cheaper as the system's gone out. So like second generation, they start
every time making cheaper more to produce, money, cheaper stuff to like produce. That. And then it keeps going.
But that first launch, they take a pretty big loss on those consoles, but they make up so much more in the software titles.
I don't know. It still seems like a lot. I think I'm gonna have to research this, but it doesn't seem like it's.
Yeah, go ahead and look it up. See if you can figure that out. I mean, I don't know.
I was thinking more of like, you know, like maybe like $100 loss, $100 loss.
I don't know what it's like for this newer generation because obviously everything's like they have the chips made by Nvidia and stuff like that, so it's gonna be a lot more streamlined. I'm sure.
Yeah.
So they're probably making more money now than they were in the past, having to manufacture and develop this stuff by themselves. Anyway. So they Crytek comes out and they show this basically a cinematic for Robinson the Journey. This is a game where you're like some astronaut kid stranded on this island, you like crash land there or something like that, and you get a little ghost.
Will Robinson or Robinson Crusoe?
I think it's Robinson Crusoe. And a little ghost comes out and he's like, "Hey, let's play a game. It's called Not Getting Crushed." And you see a bunch of dinosaurs running past you. And Brontosaurus and stuff like that. There's a T-Rex in there.
Dude, so awesome.
And this is a VR game. I'm like, dude, and Jurassic that, World the game? Give
and
it to me.
That T-Rex was like noticed you and started staring right at you. And, you know, this is a VR thing going on. You know what I'm saying? So you're seeing this dinosaur, like, first-person view, like, looking right at you. And you're just like, oh, crap.
I mean, I need to see that. I need to get my hands on that. I need to play that. Then they show the Battlezone, which is a remake of like a really old arcade game, like a really old like black and green wire arcade game, where you control a tank, you run around and shooting up other tanks, stuff like that. So that's gonna be a VR title. It's cool. It looks fun.
So this is more akin to what I was talking about and what I remember reading, is that through several sources. It was believed that Sony lost around $60 per console for the PS4.
For the PS4.
For the PS4. Now I don't know about any other consoles,
but I read that the manufacturing cost for the Xbox One and the PS4 is cheaper than previous console manufacturing costs because they're not developing it in house by themselves anymore because they did reach out to other companies to produce like the product for them and stuff like that. So you gotta imagine the PlayStation 3 was probably pretty bad with the blue cell architecture. That's all them. They had to spend the time to develop that one. That's
completely new technology, and like there was a whole battle too. Remember HD DVDs and the
Blu-ray
and the Blu-ray, just like the betas and the VCR and I don't know what else was there. Was there something that they were doing against the CDs?
Yeah, it was the mini CDs, right?
Is that what it was?
I think so.
Yeah. They still used them, too.
They were big in Japan.
Yeah. What's next? something in Dan's eye is next, apparently.
Let's see here.
Okay, oh. I see what you're talking about. PS3 took like around a $300 loss.
Yeah.
Per console, yeah. Anyway, yeah.
There we go, here's what's next. Gran Turismo Sport. Not Gran Turismo 6 or 7, whatever. Gran Turismo Sport.
This is so awesome. This is so awesome.
Okay. So, like, they're talking about stuff like FIA and blah, 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 racing games. And yeah, the game looks nice. It looks pretty, of course. It's Gran Turismo. It always looks pretty.
Yeah, Gran Turismo has been nice. Since it came out.
Yeah, since it came out, yeah. And then they announced there's going to be tournaments. There's going to be the FIA tournament where you represent your country. And the FIA tournament where you represent your favorite car company.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, like, okay, that's cool. And stuff like that. And it's like, and then whoever wins the tournament, whatever, you know, will get to be recognized by the FIA and stuff like that. And you will get your award at the same award ceremony for all the other racers. The real life racers.
A real award at the actual ceremony. And you're going to meet all these, like, you know, all these racers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How awesome is that for playing a like video every game, year, man? Yeah. Come on, dude.
You're being recognized by accredited sports
organization.
Organization, yeah. Getting the award with all the actual other people that play the sport, like, not on the video game, but in real life.
Yeah, man.
And, like, the top eight players, like, each year during the tournament, the top eight players are racing at a special event.
Yeah.
Kind of like Capcom Cup, but yeah. For racing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome. That's just so cool. Like, ESPN's like, oh no, we're not going to cover games because it's not a real sport. Guess what? FIA's supporting it, so what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do, ESPN? You're going to be like, and the FIA awards, oh, sorry, we lost signal there for a second. Guess what, ESPN? You're covering this.
Yeah.
In some way or another. You're kind of forced to at this point.
People won't even know if it's real or not, man.
Yeah.
Huh? It's
graphics, oh, and bro. By the way, they're probably going to support VR, and from all their playtests.
Oh, yeah.
It seems very promising, yeah, that it's going to be very realistic.
Everything, dude, I can't wait.
I'm not even into Gran Turismo.
I mean, is Sony even going to make, awesome. Is Sony even going to make another console that's not VR?
That's, we'll talk about that.
That's an interesting question, right?
Yeah. So let me finish getting through this here real quick. Oh, they showed the actual gameplay of Wild.
Which one? I can't remember this one.
This is the Shaman dude.
Oh, that one, yeah.
So, like, previously, you know, they did the E3, and everybody was like, oh, that looks awesome, you know, the people, like, hunting with the bows, and, like, the giant fish and the skeleton people in the ocean. Like, oh, that looks really cool. And they showed the gameplay demo. No.
I didn't get it.
They showed the Shaman. So I assume there's other classes you can play. They very specifically said, when you play as the Shaman. But they didn't show anything but the Shaman, but...
Show some chick dying at the beginning, right?
Yeah, you know, she had, like, she got bit by a snake. So she had poison in her arm.
Oh, okay.
So Shaman's trying to go find a cure for the poison. It's open world. It seems there's different ways to approach, like, situations. The Shaman can control animals, and, like...
Goes into a trance, and then just picks an animal, basically?
Right? Yeah.
And then that animal, you know, you're able to control it, and that animal stays with you, though.
Yeah, you can have it stay with you, or you can,
While you choose a different animal to control.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got, you know, these two guys that, you know, you're basically can control at any time.
It's like, you can ride a bear, and go into
control a little bunny combat. Rabbit to attack a village.
Control crows. Well, they're cannibals, actually. Yeah. It's a cannibal tribe. And then, like, there's a half-naked snake woman.
Mmm.
That was, like, three...
Orochimaru, anybody?
That was, like, super giant.
Remember when Orochimaru was a girl?
A little bit, yeah.
During the trials, the ninja trials for the kids.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so, it was a girl, and then, like, that girl turned into a snake. Right? Yeah, it's kind of like that, but not really.
No, not at all.
Not really, because this one in the game... Actually, she looked like a woman.
Yeah.
And she had, like, scales on her breastises.
And she had, like, the full-on curves of a person, but with scales covering up all the naughty bits.
Feet and everything, man. Feet and everything. Uh-huh. Yeah. It was basically a woman with scales.
But it's like the shaman, from what they made it sound like, in order to be able to control the animals, you have to go do basically what they did to meet the snake woman, and like you have to talk to the divinity of the animal or whatever, and you can like learn an ability that helps you out with that animal, or you can learn to control that animal, or something like that. So it's interesting. I want to see what the other classes are, because I don't feel like I want to play the shaman.
Or the game at this point.
It seems a little ho-hum right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem as grand of a scale as the trailer they showed earlier made it seem.
I agree.
But, I mean, I'm still holding out hope. It still looks interesting enough. And then last, again, Wild not VR, and this game not VR, but Quantic Dream came out. Guys did Beyond Two Souls and Heavy Rain. They showed out their new game called Detroit. And something
Detroit City.
And basically, remember that tech demo where they had like the android coming to life and like, hey, look, no, I have feelings and this hurts and that hurts.
You know, like that movie?
Ex Machina that just came out recently?
Yeah. It's kind of like, I mean, it's different than that, but it's along the same lines.
Yeah. So apparently, like, they just did it as a tech demo, and, like, they were like, hey, wait, people keep clicking on this on YouTube, like, people are reading to that, like, and so they decided to make it a game. And, man, it was all cinematics.
The game looks pretty,
The game looks nice.
Yeah.
Like, it's starting to get real close to that Uncanny Valley thing, where I'm just like, that looks very person-like.
I mean, robots nowadays are becoming pretty human-like now.
Yeah, that's true.
With Japan, man. They're doing stuff.
No sex with the pepper bot.
Ah, see that thing? It's ugly.
It looks like a little child.
I don't understand.
Yeah. Nobody had sex with the pepper bot. They just like
know of.
They just somebody made an app to see if he could program harassment issues into the pepper pot to be able to recognize if it's being harassed and stuff like that. And then they were like, oh, whoa, wait a second. Let's not harass these robots. No sex with the pepper bot, please.
Oh my god.
So that's what happened. Nobody actually, like, had sex with the pepper bot.
Oh man, I'm sure somebody did.
Somebody tried.
I'm so certain somebody did.
It's like, where do I plug myself in? Where's the instruction manual on this thing?
I want to give you power!
I want to give you power. So, Spirit of Halloween, before we go...
No, the tightrope thing.
Okay. So, they showed one more VR thing. That's right. It was like, it wasn't a game, it was an experience. Because they had this...
And experiences are just as nice as games.
Right? Yeah. They have this movie called The Walk coming out, Sony Pictures Entertainment. And so they create an experience where they have a little line of rope on the floor taped down, and you put on the VR things. They have this, you know, probably in LA or something like that, some theaters. And you get to kind of like put on the VR, and it looks like you're on a tightrope over like a skyscraper. And so you look down, you know, you just see the street down below and stuff like that. And this showed like people doing this, and the people were like freaking out.
I'm amazed at how the brain just tricks you into thinking this is actually happening. Even when you know this is not real. And you know there is solid ground beneath you. But your brain's like, nah, dude, you're on the tightrope.
Yeah, like people were crying.
Yeah, like it's, I don't know, man. It's just amazing to me. Brain's like,
and
brain's legit, bro.
And the VR's that good at this point.
Yeah, there's, I mean, these people are really, I mean,
like, freaking out.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, yeah.
Except for that one, like, person that was like, look, I can do yoga poses.
Yeah, I didn't like her.
She didn't seem genuine.
Do we have a Twitter question?
We do have a Twitter question, God, man. How do you expect the fans at home to follow our Twitter?
I'm so tired.
When you don't follow the Twitter.
I'm so tired.
Again, that Twitter is Uncork Gamers.
Because I live at work. I'm tired. I'm so sleepy.
Alright, Twitter question of the week is, what is your favorite scary game? So we got a response.
Favorite scary game?
We got a response from the listeners. So, Vasagui31, gotta be Left 4 Dead 1 and 2. Very entertaining. And playing the zombies in the multiplayer, fun for the whole family. I'm pretty sure Vasaga said he had little kids. So, I mean, if he has little kids, fun for the whole family, then your kids play Left 4 Dead. I'm not sure if that's quite what the, you know, parental control units want to hear. But, no, the game's fun, yeah. I did enjoy that game. I didn't get to play a lot of it with friends, though. Most of my friends, like, weren't playing with me, or weren't playing at the time that I had the game. Yeah. So I did a lot of it by myself. And, like, one time I had a friend,
I played Left 4 Dead, like, a couple times. But I never got too into it.
Yeah, you got it on PC? Let's do it.
I think I have it on PC.
Let's do it.
Yeah? Let's
do it.
Yeah?
Just do it!
Just... What are you waiting for? You just saw that video for the first time, by
yeah,
the way.
If you don't know what we're talking, it's Shia LaBeouf.
Everybody knows
just
what
do
we're
it.
Talking about. Except
just
for
look
you.
It up. If you've never heard of it, like I've never heard of it, just look it up. It's pretty funny.
Man, I'm a little teapot.
Riddlemaster responded that, let me pull it back up.
Is Riddlemaster like scary games?
I
thought Riddlemaster was mostly like a...
You know Riddlemaster personally?
Like a PC gamer.
I don't play scary games.
See? I knew it.
Gone Home has a slightly creepy feeling, and there is one dungeon in Skyrim that is rather tense. I have to say, Gone Home, I didn't actually personally play it, but if you check on the Game Days YouTube, somebody was playing it, we did it on Game Days. And, you know, there's some moments in there, because it's Gone Home, you're just, like, walking
it's
around.
It's a creepy house.
Yeah, this empty, creepy house, there's a storm going on, it's dark outside. Your eyes kind of start to play tricks on you. You start
like
seeing
in
like
real life?
Like shadows. You're
talking about real life or in the game?
In the game.
Oh, okay.
Like not a game mechanic, but like you're like walking down the hallway and it's like dark and shadows. Like something just moved past that shadow right there. Like, or is that a glitch in the game or something just moved past that shadow? I don't know if I want to keep going. Because like in the game you get like you just random news clip and you can read or not read or whatever, right? Because there's a lot of the games like you're just exploring the house and like maybe you find some stuff and not other stuff. And it's like, they picked up things like, oh, you know, I think this, I heard Legends of the House is haunted or something like that. I'm just like, is that what this game's about? Some creepy ghost thing gonna hunt me down some?
That's why you didn't play it? Is that why you didn't play it?
I didn't play it because we did it on Game Days and they replayed it, so I got to see the whole game.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But, it's a good game, but it's creepy though. It's creepy because there's nothing.
It's like those, Those scary movies are all about the aura of the movie.
Yeah.
More than it is jump scares, you know what I mean?
Like, I love those ones so much more than jump scares.
Yeah.
Like, just the creepiness.
I felt really good about Insidious.
Insidious was fun. That was a good one.
It seemed, the music and the music, oh my god, the music in Insidious was fantastic. It was just like the whole, like, just sharp, like, violin kind of deal going on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it wasn't music, it was just like a sound, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I felt like that was one of those type of movies, like, it's just like an old school scary movie, you know?
Yeah. Like one of the deepest scares I ever had watched in a movie was, I was like, just watching the original, like, House on Haunted Hill, like, black and white and everything, and, I was watching it in the dark on the small TV. So, like, I can kind of tell what's going on, like, for most of this part. But there's one part, that came, like, halfway through the movie, so I don't even know exactly what's going on. There's one part where we're just, like, walking up the stairs, and, like, then he's, like, looking, and there's, like, a big, loud, like, musical score thing. And, like, there's just, like, this thing that they're looking at, but I can't tell what it is. But this, like, big, loud music, and I'm like, what is it? What is it? And it's, like, an open door. It's just an open door, but it took me so long to figure out what it was because it's black and white and it was small. I just like freaked myself out. I was like, what is happening? It's just an open door.
God, I wonder if people remember the small TVs, man. People are so spoiled nowadays, man. Yeah. We used to watch on these little tiny screens, man. I remember when boomboxes came with TVs. Remember that?
Oh, dude.
You remember that?
You were fancy if you had that.
Yeah, thing. Man, those things were nice, you know? No one cares about boomboxes anymore.
Yeah, no, nobody cares around. They're too big now. But, alright, and we have one more. Let's see, Solo Assassin wrote in. And Fatal Frame.
Fatal Frame, yeah.
Yeah. Fatal Frame, because all you have is a camera.
Oh, that's not... Okay, that's not the game I was thinking of. Yeah, Fatal Frame, yeah.
So, yeah, you have the camera, you have to, like... Oh, I think there's a ghost around here. Let me pull out my camera. Oh, everything's first person. Oh, there's a ghost in my face. Take a picture.
Take a picture.
Take a picture. And it's because it's that vulnerability. Yeah. But the main reason why I can't play war games is that vulnerability feeling.
Yeah.
That's why I like Fatal Frame so much. I mean, yeah, you tell me I had fun with Resident Evil and stuff like that, but that Fatal Frame. That's the favorite one.
Which brings me to mine, which was actually Resident Evil. The first Resident Evil, and as much as I love the first Resident Evil on PlayStation, I gotta say that I really enjoyed the remake on the Wii U. On the Wii. On the GameCube, sorry. Jesus. The remake on the GameCube, you know, like just the updated graphics of it, dude, it looks so good, and the game was just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very good remake, you know what I mean? They didn't try to do anything, like, fancy and stupid, you know, with it. Like, it was a good game. And that first, the first scene when you see the first zombie, you know what I mean?
Oh,
and he's like, he's feeding, right? Like, he's feeding, and then he just kind of turns around.
And it looks like a clown.
And his eyes are just like, yeah, dude, it's just kind of, you know what I mean? That, oh my god, that scene is just like the best scary scene ever, man.
Yeah, it's all quiet, it's just like,
Yeah,
it looks like a clown, because it has the blood on its lips, and the skin is all white. And it kind of looks like it has like a black outline around the eyes, or like blue or something like that.
But that first scene is always my favorite. It's always my favorite in like any scary game.
You know the worst part about that scene, though? The thing that bugs me, that freaks me out the most about that scene? Is once it cuts out of the cinematic, you have that horrible camera angle.
Yeah. So
you can't even see where it is
anymore.
I mean,
that whole game is like bad camera angles, man. Well, I mean, they're not really bad camera angles. It's just the way the game works.
But like, that was the worst part. I was like, alright, there's a zombie, I can't see it.
Yeah, you don't know where it's at. Like, you just open a door and there's a zombie, like, in the cinematic.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, okay, where's it coming from? Where's it coming from? But I think that adds to it, man.
I think what makes that scene so good is that you spend like 15, like first 10, 15 minutes just walking around this mansion. Like nothing's attacking you.
Yeah. Looking in the fireplace.
Doing little puzzles and stuff like that. And then you come across your first enemy. You're just like, oh, snap.
And it doesn't take up one bullet to kill him. No, it doesn't.
It does not. And, you know, the controls are all janky and...
Yeah, I mean, it takes a while to get used to the Resident Evil controls, man, but...
Yeah.
Whatever. It happens. You get used to them.
Alright, so my favorite scary game. First Encounter Assault Recon.
Didn't even play scary games.
Otherwise known as Fear.
Oh, yeah, you did play Fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beginning to end.
I thought that was a good game as well.
It was a really good game. One that gives you the agency, you're a soldier, you have the slow time thing, you get the combat and the gun and stuff like that. And the gun's pretty much almost useless against supernatural stuff, but it gives you that, it's like, oh, I can shoot it, though.
Yeah.
I can shoot it.
Makes it dissipate.
The anguish a little bit.
But then there's more that comes out, so.
But, I mean, it has that ring character, you know, the girl, she's kind of like slowly walking at you and stuff like that.
And then there's a lot of scenes where like it just things are happening from like just the edge of the screen, you know what I mean? And you just like you have to turn around, look at see what's happening.
That's the thing I love about it. It's a game where it doesn't do jumps. I mean, there's like a couple jump scares, but it's like it's not a forced jump scare. Like, you know, Five Nights at Freddy's, like the game takes over the screen and makes you look at the jump scare, right?
Yeah.
This game, like the jump scares are there, but if you're like just like walking down the hallway backwards, you're like, no, it's gonna sneak up on me. Something can happen like down the hallway that you're supposed to normally look at if you're playing the game normally, but because you weren't looking at it, you missed it.
Or you can even just like see something's happening and just turn around and keep going.
Yeah.
Like you don't even have to look at it. Like you can just turn away.
Yeah.
There's some that actually like, you know, force you into a different scene.
Mm-hmm.
And, but like a lot of times a lot of the little stuff that's going on the sides, you can just, whatever.
Yeah, I remember there's like websites dedicated to like finding all the different spots where Alma, the little girl, shows
things
up.
Things happen, yeah.
Like, and like I went through a website, I was like, I never saw that one. There's one where you're like, enter a room and it's just blood everywhere. And, like, I guess you're supposed to look up and you see her, like, walking across the scene or something like that, but I never saw that. I never saw that part because I wasn't looking up. And I just think it's great that that just happens because it just makes it more creepy. Yeah. Once you know, it's like, oh, man, like, there's, like, she's just walking around, like, all the time, and I don't even notice half the time.
I didn't realize how loud your computer was until the fan shut off.
Yeah, no, it's not. And, like, oh, man, I remember one of the favorite ones. It was in the demo. There's a part where you're, like, just walking through, like, a back alley, and, like, a TV turns on. And you go, like, to investigate the TV or whatever, kind of, like, you see, like, quick glimpses of Alma. And, like, you turn around, you see her run across real quick. And that's one of those ones you can miss. You can just, like, walk past the TV and not even bother with it. But that was just so good. It's like...
I didn't care too much for the second one.
The second one, yeah.
And I never played the third one,
so... I haven't played either, dude. Do you have it on PC?
No, I don't have that one. I do not have that one.
Pick it up on PC. We can play two-player.
You keep wanting me to pick up these things on PC.
Because I have it on PC.
But you know my PC.
It should be all over the Fear 3.
Fear 3? Is that old enough?
I think it might be old enough. I mean, just look at the specs.
Yeah, you're probably right. I did get that fancy mid-grade
graphics card.
Yeah, that's probably not mid-grade anymore.
But it'd be fun. Yeah, you could be a point man or.
I really need to stop buying PC games. Yeah. Because I don't even play them. I just buy them. And I don't play them.
It's true. Anyway, so yeah. Happy Halloween, guys.
Happy Halloween!
As far as whether I think PlayStation will just start making VR consoles, I think they'll at least put out one more console, traditional console. They keep it kind of separate, but like still have it run together and stuff like that, as separate product lines. But, I mean, it's hard to tell, like, because you can't really do some of the more popular genres as VR.
That's true. I mean, there's going to be a lot of games where this just won't be able to do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe even like a whole lot of indie games. I mean, most of the indie games, I think, really.
That's true. Well, I mean, technically, No Man's Sky is an indie game.
But it's a huge indie game, dude.
It is a huge indie game, yeah.
It's like a triple A indie game, man. Like, seriously, that game is...
The indie scene is getting to that triple A.
Where it's not even an indie anymore. Yeah. You know?
Developers. Status. I mean,
big developers are picking up indie games, you know, before they're even done.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, dude, we like your idea. We'll fund it. Let's get over here.
I have it recently. I forget what the name of the game is off the top of my head, but they're like, hey, yeah, we canceled our Kickstarter because we partnered up with this development company to, you know, put out our game, so it'll be better now.
That's so cool. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Good for them.
The middle tier of game developers is coming back through the indie scene.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Bring me back my NES games, man. Come on.
Alright.
Twitch.tv/Black Hole Flare.
Someday.
Someday.
When he gets a partner.
I'm tired. And I'm out.
Again, email us any questions you might have, uncoregamers@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter to give us your answers for the questions of the week. Again, that is at uncoregamers. Jeff, of course, everything.
Black Hole Flare.
No matter where you want to find them, Black Hole Flare. And I am Vegan Dan on PS4. That's it. Happy Halloween.
Look up the picture of Black Hole destroying a star.